They had enough to fill them as much as they wanted. Like, this is not a small thing. We couldn't even do it with 70 people. All right. But Jesus fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Hey, this is Andrew, the pastor of Ellick Southern Baptist Chapel. I want to thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I hope that you will join us soon. Feel free to contact us with any questions or with any needs, and we look forward to meeting you soon.
This morning we are in John chapter 6, and John chapter 6 begins a brand new unit in Scripture. Where Jesus is basically going to claim to himself be the bread of life, the sustenance for our lives. And the story begins somewhere familiar for us with the feeding of the 5,000. So if you spent any time in church at all, as a kid or as an adult, you've heard this story where Jesus miraculously feeds the 5,000. Let's read this together. This is John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" Now this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. All right. How many of you have heard this story before? Okay. This is a very popular story in the text of Scripture, and I typically hear it go one of two ways when it's taught, right? Some people will say that Jesus... I don't agree with this view personally, okay? They'll say that Jesus, by his teaching and in his words and in the example he set, and particularly this boy who offered up 5 loaves and 2 fish, his generosity inspired other people to be generous. And so when everybody was generous, all of a sudden there was enough food with some left over. I don't take that point of view. I take this to be a genuine miracle by the person of Christ. I believe God does miracles. I believe Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles. And this being a miracle, actually that detail is very, very important to John's gospel narrative and proof of who Jesus is. And so Jesus is performed a miracle in Jerusalem. He's gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's there sitting with his disciples, and all of a sudden, 5,000 men and their families show up. I think that's an important detail of the text too, because that means there are a lot more than 5,000 people there. It's getting close to Passover, and Jesus looks out at the crowds. He's sitting with his disciples, and there are these crowds of people gathering, and Jesus looks up, and he just asks his disciples, hey, how are we going to buy bread for all these people? It's polite to feed people when they come, right? How are we going to buy bread for all these people? His disciples come up with a couple different answers, right? None of them great. Well, we don't have money to buy enough food. And this boy who's volunteering his food, that's not enough food to go around. I want to do an experiment this morning. I want to see if we can feed everybody in the auditorium, okay? And this is where I need a few volunteers who are young of age like children. Nobody in here likes honey buns. Anybody like honey buns? All right. Well, I went to Dollar General this morning, and I bought 6 honey buns. And I figured we're going to try to feed 70 people with 6 honey buns. All right? We're going to try to reproduce Jesus' miracle right here and right now. All right, I need a few kids to come up. And I'm going to give you a honey bun. I want you guys to start distributing these, okay? Start giving these to people. Start giving them to people. We're going to see if everybody gets fed, okay? Go ahead, walk around, start giving them to people. We're going to see if everybody gets fed. Oh, there's the temptation, right? What do you mean, give this to other people? Is this possible? Can y'all give that to everybody? A little bit to everybody? Enough for everybody to get full on honey buns? It's not possible? I'm going to tell you what. Since it's not possible, y'all can keep those honey buns. Is that all right? All right. Hey, y'all, there are 2 honey buns left. If somebody wants to come get them, don't race up here all at once. All right? I saw you. I saw you. You want another one? You want one? All right. All right. Y'all, we can't even take 6 honey buns and feed the whole congregation, right? Jesus took 5 stinking loaves of bread and 2 fish and had his disciples. He did what I just did with the honey buns. He said, hey, can you imagine? His disciples' reaction was probably a little bit like that. like, what do you mean start distributing this? This is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What do you mean start distributing this? And they started distributing this food. And 5,000 men and their families, they had enough to get full. They had enough to fill them as much as they wanted. Like, this is not a small thing. We couldn't even do it with 70 people. All right? But Jesus fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We pick up in verse 7 here where Philip answered Jesus when Jesus told him to do this. This was their reaction. 200 denarii, that's a lot of money, by the way. 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient for them. Jesus, we don't have enough money to go and buy food for everybody here. This is a lot of people. How many of you would like to take everybody in the congregation out to eat this afternoon for lunch and you pay for everything? That would be quite the bill. That's Philip's answer. Jesus, we don't have enough. More money than we have, that would not be sufficient to pay for all this food. We don't know how we're going to do this. Andrew brought a little kid up and said, this kid has like 5 loaves of bread. I don't think that's enough, right? So here's what we know about the whole situation. There wasn't enough money to buy food for everybody. There was not enough food to go around, okay? What are these to so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down and number about 5,000. And Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted of the bread and the fish. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so nothing will be lost. And they filled 12 baskets with pieces of barley loaves. So not only did Jesus perform just a sufficient miracle, enough to feed everybody, Jesus performed a very generous miracle. He did more than was necessary. And I think, you know, when we ask for miracles in this life, and we ask God for miracles in this life, honestly, the more I read Scripture, the more I think God just really desires to give good gifts abundantly to his children. And I think when he withholds blessings, I really think the only reason God ever withholds blessings is because him withholding a blessing is ultimately better for us than us getting what we're asking for. But I literally think in every other circumstance that God desires to give good gifts in abundance to his people. And he desires to do miracles. And most of the time, I think especially in a modern world that's ruled by our prideful knowledge and facts and figures and medicine and all that, not saying any of that is bad, right? That stuff is good. But I think in this modern world where we're kind of ruled by those things, we often expect that God won't do very much. But every time I see God answer a prayer, he seems to do it in abundance. He is good. What father doesn't desire to give his children good things? And I think God is the same way with us. 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign, what's another word for sign? Miracle. Okay, wonders, miracles. If the text calls it a miracle, I'm inclined to believe what the Bible says there. When the people saw this sign, which Jesus had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. And here's where we get to get a little bit of theology. This isn't just a story. John's telling the story for a purpose. He's wanting us to know something about who Jesus is and why Jesus is here and what Jesus is doing. Why do the people, when Jesus feeds 5,000 men and their families miraculously, why do the people automatically respond by saying, this must be the prophet who is coming into the world? Why do you think they responded that way? This is really cool, by the way. So you remember who wrote Deuteronomy? Well, most of Deuteronomy. Moses. The only part Moses probably didn't write in Deuteronomy was the record of his own death. That would have been really difficult. Okay. So Moses wrote Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses said, because the people, there was a story earlier, it's in Exodus, where the people at Mount Sinai said, we don't want to hear directly from God. We want, because they were scared of God, right? They saw the holiness of God up there on the mountain, and they said, we don't want to encounter that. If God talks directly to us, we will die. That's what the people of Israel said. And so Moses became their prophet for the duration of his life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses, telling the people before they went into the land of Canaan, told the people of Israel, God will send you a prophet like me because you don't want to see God face to face. He will send you a prophet like me to speak his words to you. And Israel always had a prophet that was kind of like Moses. What was one of the key characteristics of Moses' prophetic ministry, everything he did for Israel? What do we remember about Moses the most? The parting the sea. The signs. The parting the sea. What are some others? Okay. Okay. The fire from heaven, the pillar of smoke during the day, the parting of the Red Sea, the staff turning into snakes, the manna from heaven. That's a big one, right? I mean, Israel, as they are moving through the wilderness and stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because of their own sin, right? Because of their own doubt, their lack of faith. They were fed miraculously by God with manna from heaven. Manna that they would pick up in the morning and they would prepare it and they would eat it. And then the next morning, God would provide for them. And before the Sabbath, God would provide 2 days worth of manna for each family. Miraculous manna from heaven. And then Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18 said, God will send you a prophet like me. And then here's Jesus providing manna from heaven, bread, manna, bread from heaven, miraculously feeding 5,000 men and their families, and these people being Jews, being very aware of Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 18, say, we don't have a prophet for this generation. This guy must be the prophet that's coming into the world. Now, some of these Jews might have put two and two together and also thought Jesus was the Messiah, right? The deliverer, God coming to visit his people. But they were definitely thinking, this is the prophet for this generation who is in the place of Moses, who is going to give us God's word, who is going to tell us the truth about things. This is very significant. Like Jesus, he wasn't merely being generous. He was certainly being generous. He certainly cared for people. But in doing this miracle, he quite literally is putting him in the place of God's promised prophet for that generation. Now we know, because we're living after the resurrection, right? That because Jesus was raised from the dead, a prophet doesn't stop being a prophet, right? That then Jesus is the final prophet. No other prophets after Jesus. And that he fills that office perpetually because he is not dead. He is still alive. So any prophets who came after Jesus, they are liars. Jesus is the one who fills this office perpetually. And the people recognize this must be the prophet. Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy when he is providing this bread. And then verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, it was so impactful that they also wanted to make Jesus king. Now, we've learned this about Jesus already, right? It's not the kind of kingdom he's interested in. They were interested in making him a worldly kind of king, a worldly kind of cult religious leader, and Jesus simply was not interested in that, right? Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom among the nations, not a kingdom out to get the nations, but a kingdom among the nations. And so Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. He does not want to be that kind of king. He is not like Herod. He is not like Caesar. And in this way, he is not even like Moses or Joshua or David. Jesus is the heir to David's throne, and he holds that office perpetually too, but his kingdom would be a different kind of kingdom than David's kingdom. It wouldn't be one of the world where he ruled by putting fear into the nations. It would be one where he makes peace with the nations and raised his people among the nations. And this is John's opener to lead us into later in this chapter, Jesus himself being the true, actual bread of life. That the Israelites were provided for in the wilderness to sustain their life. That Jesus fulfilled this sign here when he fed the 5,000 people. And then later in John chapter 6, this is going to be hard news for the Jews. We're going to see that because most of them are going to leave Jesus in this chapter, right? They're going to stop following Jesus because Jesus is actually going to claim to be the bread of life, to be the sustenance of people, that unless we partake of Jesus himself, we cannot have eternal life. He is our sustenance. Amen?